Good afternoon, everyone. I call the Senate Social Health and Social Services Committee to order at 3:30 p.m. on Tuesday, April 4th. We're meeting in room 205 of the Butrovich in the Capitol Building. Please remember to silence your cell phones as a courtesy. Committee members present today are Senator Dunbar, Senator Geisel, Senator Tobin, myself, Senator Wilson. We are expecting Senator Kaufman a bit later. But we do have a quorum to conduct business this afternoon. We only have one item of business this afternoon, which is Senate Bill 106, Home and Community-Based Services, sponsored by Senator Geisel. This is our first hearing on the bill. At this time, we already have this Senator Geisel here at the table with us, and we invite her staff, Ms. Paige Brown. Also, we have Ms. Conaway also here in the room to go over an overview of Senate Bill 106. And we also would like to recognize Senator Kaufman has joined us. And Senator Geisel, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members of the committee, for hearing the bill. For the record, my name is Kathy Geisel. I have the honor of representing Senate District E. That's E as in Echo, which is in Anchorage. Senate Bill 106. Healthcare is most effective and most economically provided in a home setting. Typically, you and I, and most people, feel most at peace and calm in our own homes. That sense of peace and calm promotes the body's defenses to be most functional and health-restoring. So that's effective health care provided in the home with family. It's also far less expensive to stay in one's own home rather than in an institution of some type. There are home health care providers who meet this need for home care by coming to the client's home to provide services. But as we learned during the pandemic, the workforce and home health industry is in short supply. During the pandemic, family members filled that role, and the Medicaid emergency rules provided reimbursement for family members providing those services. Senate Bill 106 would continue that financial reimbursement for family members to provide home care for their family members. This bill would allow a legally responsible individual, LRI, to get paid by Medicaid to provide care. There would be requirements to assure that the legally responsible individuals are competent to provide that care. The emergency declaration related to the pandemic ends in a few weeks on May 11th. The Department of Health is asking the federal government for an extension of this program while they prepare Alaska's state plan amendment to request making this plan, this program, permanent. If the feds disallow the temporary extension, there would be a time after May 11th when family caregivers would not be paid by Medicaid, and those family members would have to find someone else to provide the care. If passed, this bill would allow legally responsible individuals, family members, to apply for a caregiving agency where they would be trained and employed through that agency while providing care for their own family. Enabling family caregivers to be paid for their services can reduce the financial strain on families and help alleviate the emotional stress of caregiving. It can also help the caregiver burnout and prevent better healthcare outcomes for both the caregiver and the patient. By reducing the need for institutional care, this policy change can save the state money and improve the overall quality of care for recipients of medical assistance. But more importantly to me, Mr. Chairman, by reducing the need for institutional care, we will see Alaskans being cared for in a better way, in a more calm environment, and in a more healthy environment. Home care is often less expensive than nursing home care, and it can provide a more personalized, patient-centered approach to medical care. Passage of Senate Bill 106 would make a big difference in rural Alaska, where home care agencies are often not available. My staff, Paige Brown, is available to review a sectional analysis, and Lynn Kyleman-Cruz, Acting Deputy Director of Senior and Disability Services, is in the room for questions, as well as Alexi Roderick. She is also present. She is the Director of Research and Policy for the Service Employees International Union. Thank you for hearing the bill, Mr. Chairman. And as I said, Paige is available for a sectional analysis if you desire.
Thank you. If you can place yourself on the record, Ms. Brown, and start with the sectional analysis when you're ready.
For the record, my name is Paige Brown, staff to Senator Giesel. Section 1 amends home and community-based services and adds a new subsection. This allows the state to allow a legally responsible individual to be paid to provide personal care for a person who receives Medicaid under the 1915K state plan option. Section 2 amends uncodified law by adding a new section. This allows the state to amend and submit Section 1 for federal approval of the revised state plan. Section 3 amends uncodified law by adding a new section. This legislation will only take effect if the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services approves the amendment submitted under Section 2. If the federal government approves the amendment, the Commissioner of Health shall notify the reviser of statutes not less than 30 days after receiving notice of the approval. Section 4 provides an effective date conditional upon approval by federal government. Legislation would take effect on the 31st day after the Commissioner of Health receives notice of approval of the amendment in Section 1 from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Section 5 provides for an immediate effective date.
Thank you. Are there any questions at this time for the bill sponsor or her staff? Seeing none, we'll take a brief at ease. We're back on the record. We'll now open up for invited testimony. We have Ms. Alexis Roderick. If you want to come on up to the podium and place yourself on the record, and please provide your invited testimony this afternoon.
My name is Alexis Rodich, for the record. And I'm the Director of Research and Policy at the Caregivers Union, SEIU 775. Chairman Wilson, Vice Chair Kaufman, Senator Giesel, and other committee members, thank you for inviting me to testify today in support of SB 106. You'll be hearing other invited testimony from caregivers whose lives are profoundly impacted by the passage of this bill. Their testimonies will speak to the very deeply personal nature of this issue. I will be speaking to some of the broader benefits of allowing legally responsible family members to be paid caregivers, or personal care attendants. First of all, allowing these family members to be paid for providing these services helps address the increasing workforce shortage by growing the pool of potential caregivers. Alaska has the fastest growing population per capita in the United States of seniors and one of the highest levels of people over age 65 with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Despite a clear and growing need for in-home services and supports, there is a growing shortage of quality, trained, direct care workers. This shortage makes it hard for people to find the right caregiver for them and for current caregivers to find respite when they need it. This situation especially impacts rural Alaska, where in-home care would be the only option available, and the workforce is even more limited. In the face of such barriers, many Alaskans are forced to move thousands of miles away, leaving behind culture, family, and community. Second, allowing legally responsible individuals to be paid caregivers also makes good economic sense. An estimated 85,000 Alaskans provide unpaid care to family member or friend, which is worth an estimated $1.2 billion a year, according to AARP. Unpaid care work often forces people to reduce the number of their paid work hours in their other jobs outside the home, or it even forces them to leave the workforce altogether. This results in greater economic precarity for themselves and their family members, and it creates a higher reliance on state public assistance programs and unrealized economic potential. When family members are paid for their labor, they spend more money in their own towns and own communities, which actually creates an economic stimulus in all these towns and communities statewide. And finally, receiving care from family members results in positive outcomes for the care recipient. Family members offer familiarity, less disruption in routine, and shared cultural values. Thank you, Senator Giesel, for your leadership on this issue, Senator Wilson, for allowing me to testify and for hearing this bill today, and again, for all of you for your support and attention to this very important issue.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Alexis? Seeing none, thank you for coming in this afternoon for testifying. Next on our invited testifier list, we have Veronica Page. Veronica, are you with us this afternoon?
Hello.
Hi. Veronica, you are with us. Yes, if you can provide your invited testimony.
Absolutely. Hello, everyone. My name is Veronica Page. I live in Anchorage, Alaska. And I am here in support of SB 106. This bill will allow, as was just said, will allow family members to be paid to provide care for the loved ones permanently. I'm begging you to please support this bill too. So my story is, my wedding dress has been hanging in my garage now for 12 years unworn. 1 month, I was not going to cry, but okay. 1 month before my wedding date, my fiance was in a devastating accident. All of the doctors and everyone around said that he would be in a permanent vegetative state for the rest of his life. He would never eat, walk, talk, or live anything like the way we had always planned again. I never got to say my vows, but I have stood by him every step of the way for the last 12 years as his sole care provider. When he had by the healing grace of God, he has made an incredible recovery, and he can do most of the things that the doctor said that he would never be able to do. At the time of the accident, he had broken almost everything on the right side of his body and had a severe closed head injury. He was in a wheelchair. He had a feeding tube and a tracheostomy, and he couldn't move his right arm at all, and he couldn't eat. And everything had to be done. He needed 24-hour care. He had to be turned every 2 hours to make sure that he didn't get bed sores. I mean, it was something that I'd never experienced. But the way I was brought up is that it's not just when you say I do. When you get married, it's for better or for worse, and for in sickness and in health. And I think people forget that sometimes until something like this happens. So we never got married because in the state of Alaska, being married would have meant that I would not be able to be paid as a caregiver for my husband. His care was 24/7 around the clock. There was no way for me to work another job and to be able to keep a roof over our heads. And frankly, he didn't want other people to see him in that position. He was a typical man's man. There aren't enough caregivers in Alaska. And there are so many people who don't have the training that they need to be effective at this work. Anything less than excellent care would have hindered his recovery, and we just couldn't take that chance. We are a Christian family, and every day of the last 12 years, I have been going against our religious beliefs, against my values, and denied our dream. We could never take the chance, even in the last few years, that our marriage could cost us my sole income, cost us everything. And so we have done what we had to do to be well and to keep the bills paid. Alaskans, along with everybody, deserves a choice in this. Many families like mine want to take care of each other, and they're some of the best caregivers. I've watched elderly couples who've been married for 40, 50 years even, have to get a divorce so that they could pay their bills and be able to stay with the person that they loved, breaking all of their values, their religious values. It was devastating to watch, especially since we're doing all the same work that other caregivers do, and we're just expected to do it for free because as if we don't have the same bills. We deserve to make a living doing the same work that other caregivers do. We deserve to be married legally, and we deserve to be paid. I don't know if everything is so different now than it was, but with this looming and this possibility of passing and the chance that we may be able to get married. I had this conversation with my Rob just last week because of this, and we were both in tears thinking that I might be able to wear my wedding dress, and we might have the wedding day that we had planned and had paid for and everything set up 12 years ago. Anyway, even the hope of the change isn't enough to make us believe that we could finally have the life we planned, even if it looks different than we thought it would be. Anyway, that's the power of the choice that you have in front of you, and I ask you to please help families like mine, and please vote for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Page, for sharing your story with us this afternoon. Are there any questions for Ms. Page? Thank you again. Our next invited testifier is Sarah Krug. Sarah, are you with us this afternoon? And if so, if you can place yourself on the record and please begin your invited testimony.
My name is Sarah Krug, for the record, and I'm supposed to say through the chair. Sorry, I'm trying to learn how this works. Okay. So did you know disabilities are the only minority group that any of us can become a part of at any time? Anyone who might experience an accident, illness, genetic difference, or the effects of aging, these are our children, parents, family, friends, neighbors, coworkers. These people are a part of our community. They matter. We all have a personal stake in the disability community. Hi, I'm Sarah Krug. I live in Anchorage, and I want to talk to you about the importance of SB 106. I'm a care provider. It's my job and my life. I work as a paraprofessional educator in a self-contained sped classroom. I also work as a direct care provider. As a care provider, I provide hands-on assistance while also supporting a sense of independence with sensitive tasks. I assist with personal hygiene, medication, tube feeding, range of motion therapies, and so much more. These supports help people with the basic and essential needs of their daily life. I have three children that I'm raising on my own. Today, I want to tell you about Zachary. Zachary is 17 years old and has cerebral palsy. He uses a power wheelchair to move and an iPad to communicate. He requires assistance with almost everything just to survive. My son requires an institutional level of care, but with the help of care providers, he has the support he needs to thrive. Before having a child with a disability, I attended UAA for social work, but Zachary needed a lot of specialized direct care, more than child care centers could provide. Lack of qualified care providers prevented me from obtaining a college degree and a career and continue to limit my ability to work and support my family. Zachary was on the wait list for waiver services for 7 years. After getting a waiver, he still struggled to find, train, and retain care providers. Over the last 10 years, we've had some amazing care providers and others who just didn't mesh with our family. Working in someone's home or having them work in your home is a unique and intimate experience. Eventually, every care provider we've ever had moved on, which created an environment of uncertainty and a sense of abandonment for a child who didn't understand why. The revolving door of care providers was very stressful for my family, especially Zachary. Care provider jobs require a lot of hard work, physically, mentally, and emotionally. These are low-paid jobs with high turnover rates, but care providers are essential to the infrastructure of our society. Lack of care providers puts an excessive burden on families. I need to support my family, but the inconsistency in care available makes it impossible to work enough. Zachary needs consistent and quality care, and right now that's me, his mom. Being able to be paid for some of the hours that I provide care for my son with cerebral palsy has made my family more self-sufficient and overall been a very positive experience. The stability and quality of care I'm able to provide for Zachary has been incredible for his development and goals. Allowing family members to be paid care providers creates financial sustainability for families like mine and keeps people like Zachary out of expensive institutions and in their homes and communities. COVID created chaos and devastation, but it also challenged us to reevaluate how things have always been done, finding different yet successful ways of doing things. There's no easier one-size-all-fit solution, but Appendix K allowed family members the option to be paid for time they work providing care directly for disabled family members. Let's make Alaska's care system work better for everyone. Please support SB 106. Together, we can reduce overall costs of care and increase quality of life for Alaskans with disabilities. Please support our care providers. They support our most vulnerable Alaskans. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for sharing today, Sarah. Are there any questions? Seeing none, just thank you again for testifying this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Our next invited testifier is Crystal Howard. Crystal, are you with us this afternoon?
Hi, this is Crystal Howard. I want to thank you guys for hearing me today. I'm asking you to support SB 106, allowing legally responsible adults to be paid caregivers. I've been a nursing assistant and a care provider for 24 years. I have worked with people from birth to hospice, the elderly, children with disabilities in schools and in hospitals, adults with TBI or spinal cord injuries, and just about everything in between. But I've also cared for my family. In 2012, my six-year-old son was diagnosed with a bone marrow failure disease called aplastic anemia. In short, a rare autoimmune disease where his body essentially stopped making blood and he was transfusion dependent for nearly a year. We had only been in Alaska for 3 months when he got sick. I had a job as a caregiver to support myself and my two kids, but I had to quit because there was no way to maintain employment when you spend weeks at the hospital and in the emergency room. We had very little support living in Wasilla, and driving to Anchorage constantly, we relied on donations for gas and necessities. It was definitely not enough and added a huge amount of stress to our already stressful lives. We were not medically allowed to leave state as he was so sick. I couldn't go home to Oregon where my larger support system was. It became so difficult to get by and manage our life that I was forced to send my older son, who was 8, to live with his grandma in California. This is one of the most difficult decisions I've ever had to make. With more support, I may have been able to maintain his well-being. This was a high-intensity situation, and my mental health suffered. If I had the opportunity to have an income while caring for him in this traumatic and complex situation, I would have been relieved the burden of constant worry of how I was going to transport him if I didn't have gas money, the necessary food choices to keep him healthy, and meeting the needs and care of my older child, child care, emergency assistance, and someone to care for him, help him get to school, therapeutic assistance, and tutoring. This isn't the first time I've provided intense care for a family member, as 2 years ago my mother had both her hips replaced and was diagnosed with cancer shortly after. That was also a struggle as I was missing work frequently to assist her with chemo and radiation. I was making appointments for her, helping her follow up and interpret results and information, and I'm happy to report that she is in remission. This bill is extremely important for the many struggling unpaid caregivers among our state. These family members deserve to be taken care of while they meet the needs of those who require care. Acting as a caregiver takes measurable emotional, physical, and financial toll. The need for family caregivers is only going to continue to increase as the demographic keeps changing and the need for care increases. We have to do better supporting the countless dedicated and invaluable family providers in our state. And I thank you for hearing me today.
Thank you for providing your story and your invited testimony this afternoon, Crystal. Any questions? Thank you again for being here this afternoon. Next, we'll open up for public testimony. We first have Marge Stone King. And Marge, if you're with us this afternoon, if you can put yourself on the record and provide about 3 minutes for your testimony.
Good afternoon, Senators. I'm Marge Stone King, Advocacy Director for AARP Alaska. Direct care workforce shortages accelerated during the pandemic, as you've heard, have resulted in an increased number of family caregivers in Alaska, the vast majority of them unpaid. Some of them were forced out of the workforce to care for family members, which has contributed to our broader statewide workforce shortage, much like childcare. However, the flexibility authorized under the federal public health emergency to allow paid family caregivers help for those receiving Medicaid benefits. Medicaid home and community-based services support elders needing care in aging at home where they want to be, but that system is threatened right now by workforce crisis, impacting the ability for people with disabilities and the elderly to receive home services and avoid that costly institutional care. According to AARP's just updated Valuing the Invaluable report, family caregivers in Alaska provide an estimated 88 million hours of unpaid care for older parents, spouses, and other loved ones each year. In 2021, care provided by now 94,000 unpaid family caregivers in Alaska was valued at $1.7 billion. This represents a significant increase since pre-COVID, which differs from the nationwide trend of fewer family caregivers in the same period. While we don't know conclusively why Alaska is bucking the nationwide trend, it's likely driven by our rapidly aging population as of that fastest growing senior population in the nation per capita, as well as the severity of our direct care workforce crisis. AERP supports SB 106 to make permanent the flexibility to allow legally responsible adults to be paid caregivers in the current home care agency model for Alaskans who qualify for Medicaid home and community-based services. And AERP is continuing to push for policy changes to support family caregivers with a more flexible system to help our elders age in place, with systems such as a participant-directed care service model in which Medicaid recipients could hire friends, family, and neighbors directly without burdening or relying on home care agencies, which do not exist everywhere in our state. And I'd like to thank all of the family caregivers who are on the line today and testifying for their critical role in our long-term care system. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stone King, for providing your testimony this afternoon. Our next person on the list for public testimony is Patrick Reinhardt. Patrick, if you can put yourself on the record and plan for 3 minutes for your testimony this afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Patrick Reinhardt. I'm the director of the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. I want to thank the committee for hearing this bill, and in particular Senator Giesel for bringing it forward. I don't want to reiterate a lot of things that people said already, but this idea of the flexibility of having family caregivers assist, and particularly we have a workforce shortage crisis among caregivers, it's a great idea. It's one of the flexibility ideas that we brought forward to the legislature when we were there in February. It should be continued. I don't think it's been utilized to the degree that some people might think. I think I heard some numbers that were, not very high, but definitely necessary for some people to utilize this type of service. I think it's a great idea to ask CMS for us to allow to continue this flexibility, particularly for rural areas where it is very, very difficult to find anybody to do this kind of work, caregiving work. So we appreciate the legislature considering this and pushing the state forward on this path of more flexible options of care for people with disabilities and seniors and others that do have loved ones that want to help care for them, but they can't do it and not survive in the meantime. So thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Does anyone here in the room in Juneau wish to testify on Senate Bill 106? Seeing none and no one else online, we will go ahead and close public testimony. Are there any further questions for the bill sponsor at this time? Does Senator Giesel, the bill sponsor, have any closing remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for hearing the bill. When I first considered carrying this bill and considered the topic, I certainly recognized that in rural Alaska, this is a huge need. And we always have concern about, the legitimacy, I guess you would say, of sometimes charges that Medicaid sees, right? And in urban Alaska, it was my perception that we had lots of home health providers, agencies that did this kind of work. But I have since learned that actually we don't. And this is needed as much in urban Alaska as it is in rural Alaska. I know the drain it is on a family. He's grandchild number six, I think. Yeah, number six has severe disabilities, birth injury, and I know the demands that it makes on my son and daughter-in-law's family to provide home care for him, but it also is enriching to the family. The other children understand that even a person with disabilities is a value and and deserves care, and they understand a lot more about that because that family member is there in the home and not in an institution. So, Mr. Chairman, there's just a lot of value to this particular subject and providing the reimbursement from Medicaid for home health services from folks that have been trained in it who are also family members makes a big difference. Thank you for hearing the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. At this time, we'll set an amendment deadline for SB 106 to be Tuesday, April 11th. That's next Tuesday. Please let us know if you have any amendments by then, or make sure that they're turned into legal by then as well. Also, just want to remind committee members that those are folks that are considering amendments for SB 24, Public Schools, Mental Health Education, and SB 91, the Telehealth Multidisciplinary Care Team. Is also, those amendments are due on Thursday, April 6th. Same process, just make sure that they're turned in by that date to Ledge Legal so we can just try to sketch and let our office know that you do have amendments so we know for planning purposes on when to bring those back up for further consideration for the committee. That concludes our business for the day. Are there any committee members' closing comments, questions, issues? All right, seeing none, just a reminder, there is no committee this Thursday. Have a happy Easter for those that are watching and here in the committee. And we are adjourned at 4:02 to enjoy this wonderful, weathery day in Juneau.